tried and true. Right with thanksgiving, I'll be your living sanctuary. Amen and amen, amen. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. Amen. If you'd like to turn in your scriptures, turn to Revelation 5. And also to Genesis 18. Good to see everybody this morning. Just pray one for another. Remember now, the Bible study will be this coming Saturday at 6 o'clock. So remember that. You're at the church. And also, Sister Johnny called and said that she had hurt her back. So remember her. She's having trouble with her back. She hurt it, I think, up in New York. And it's still giving her a lot of trouble. So just remember her and keep her in your prayers. And remember, the Lord willing, now I'll be leaving on February the 7th to be gone to Jamaica for a few days. Be back in on the 11th, so just keep us in your prayers that the Lord would bless and guide each one and just lead us. Brother Richard this morning said for us to remember a Brother Hobart Arnold that goes to his church there. He's a diabetic and he's having a lot of trouble and has done lost one eye and got real bad sight in the other one now because of the diabetic conditions and things. He's about in his 70s. So just remember him. Keep him in your prayers that the Lord would bless him and guide him. Revelation 5 and Genesis 18. Father, we thank you for your grace and your love unto us. We thank you for all things. We know that, Lord, you are God that gives us all things because there's nothing in ourselves. We don't have anything. All we have is what you give us. But we pray that you would just come this morning now and speak to our hearts from thy word, and that the light of your love would be able to shine in each one of our hearts and lives, and that you'd show yourself unto us, that we may walk in the light of your love. Forgive our sins and lead us, Father, because we trust solely upon you this morning to speak to your people from thy word. Guide us now and keep us in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll just read Revelation 5, 1 and 2, and then we'll go to Genesis 18. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" Now let's go to Genesis 18, and you'll know immediately this is when God appears to Abraham and Sarah, you know, and she falls down and laughs or laughs and things. And he's telling him, he said, "Can I withhold anything?" Verse 16. So you'll know the story behind it. And the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom. And Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him?" You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. As I said, this is the story where Abraham and Sarah, the Lord appears to him and tells them that they're going to have the child and things. And he said, "Can I withhold anything?" Then he goes on to tell him what's going to happen to Sodom, you know, the destruction and the things that would take place from Sodom. But what I want you to think about is, we are the seed of Abraham by the new birth, by faith. We are the seed of Abraham. And being the seed of Abraham, then God cannot withhold anything from you and I. All right. Now, one time, Brother Branham, I was listening to him, and he's explaining this scripture, and this is the way he's explaining it, and he's explaining that, you know, it's really in reverse as to what is written, but it got a good point to me. And he was explaining that that there, you know, he come down, they fed him the calf and the things of the two men, you know, and then Abraham and all in the seeing the two men and the Lord, and said, "My Lord." And then when he does, he gets it, it's just kind of like I said, he swaps it up, but it sounds good, because he said there he was describing to Abraham what he was going to do to Sodom, how he was going to destroy Sodom and all the things that would happen, and said, as they were getting up to leave, and said they was there, as they were getting up to leave, said then he says, and two, Abraham said, I'm going to keep my promise to you. You will have the child, you know, like that. So it made a point in my heart to think about that, you know, he was just walking out, and then he says, I won't withhold anything from Abraham, seeing he's the heir of all things. So I want to talk about this morning now, just a little message on, I want you to think about that we are a blessed people. Amen. A blessed people, you know, for what we've heard and the things and all, we are a blessed people. I would ask you to listen to Wednesday night's message of Brother Harris there. I really thoroughly enjoyed it. And just listen, you know, to the things of what God has revealed in this last days to you and I. We are a very blessed people. Now, what I'm talking about now, this is for anyone that would listen. Now, I'm not talking about just the church here in Lula, and I'm not talking about just the people who hear this message. It's for anyone that would hear the word, because the message is around the world now. You know, I mean, it's on the internet, it's on everything. And I was thinking the other day, you know, and I know I think odd and all, but I was thinking, Lord, it would be good to try to go out and try to preach this message the way you've revealed it to me, you know, and maybe take like Daniel 70 weeks and just get together somewhere in a group and just say, well, just, you know, you can bring anybody you want to listen, and we'll sit down and we'll just speak on the message, and then if you have any questions, you know, I was just thinking that away. And this is what come to me. It wouldn't do no good. Now, whether it was God or my thoughts, that's all right, but it's what came to me. It wouldn't do any good. And I thought, well, you know, people have been blinded, and that's true. They have been blinded to the truth because their pastors has not carried them on into the deeper depth. You know, I was just thinking about what was said to me, and, you know, said it wouldn't do no good, you know, something to that degree. But then it come back this way. It said, but they have had the same opportunity. They have the same books. They have the same Bible. They have the same opportunity that you've had. And said, they claim, in other words, to me, went on, you know, they claim the Holy Ghost. So what do you need to understand Daniel 70 weeks or seals or anything? Well, you need, first off, you need the Holy Ghost. Second off, you need the prophet's message, the Bible. And see, the point was that even though, you know, I was thinking, well, they've been blinded by shepherds, and that's true. That's true. People have been blinded by false shepherds. All right. But yet now it's out there, and they have an opportunity. So they're blinding their own selves. You say, yeah, but they don't have a background. I didn't have a background until God gave it. That was the point that I believe that the Lord was trying to get me to see. They have an opportunity. They had the opportunity down through time just like you, but instead of them studying the message to try to see what the prophet said, they were just studying the message for something to make them big or something for themselves. They wouldn't put their whole heart into trying to see what the prophet had to say. So I said, well, thank you, Lord. That's a, you know, that relieved a burden from my heart to think that, well, you know, I need to go and do this now because they had an opportunity. You understand what I'm saying? I believe the Lord spoke to me. They have an opportunity. You know, anybody's got the baptism of the Holy Ghost and the prophet's message. If they'd put their heart to it, wouldn't God reveal that to them? See, so there's something wrong in their end of the deal, but that's nothing to me. I don't have anything to do with that. But he was just showing me that they had the opportunity. Not just the opportunity to hear me. They had the opportunity to have the message and study the message. Because I believe God will reveal this message to anyone who first has the new birth, and second, that will get theirself out of the way and pray for God to reveal. He'll make a way somewhere for them to hear it. It may be on the internet from somebody that's put it on, you know, from a little place called Lula. That may be true, and thank God for that.
Amen.
All right, but I just thinking about that, so I'll just let you know the way I think. But now listen. See, we've been talking about that John was taken up as a type of the rapture.
Right.
Revelation 4:1. And as he did, then he began to see things in a scene unfolding unto him. Alright? And as it would unfold, alright, then he would write it down, make a record, and to bring it back to earth, as we would say, you know, and preserve that, or write it down, so that man could look at it and receive as much as they could, and they did down through time, but yet with a promise in the end time that God would not leave his people blindly and just have us to depend upon organizations and our own ways and thoughts. So he would send a prophet to come and to bring the pure, unadulterated word back to the bride of Jesus Christ. All right? And that would make us then, in the end time, a very blessed people to have the opportunity to understand what scholars has tried to just read and understand. You know. And trying their best to figure it out. But yet, see, then what it is, see, we have the opportunity. You understand what I'm talking about? We, the end time people, not just this little group of people. And like I said, now it's offered to anybody. It was offered to everybody in the world. Everybody in the world has basically heard one way or the other of the end time message today, you know, because it's over the continents of the world and places that, you know, that was never even thought of. But what's so amazing in America, you can't even find people that know the name of William Branham, but they say you go to Africa and walk down the streets and say William Branham, they say, yeah, they know about it. Why? Because it was scattered about the country when Brother Branham went there, and they saw those things. And it wasn't sown down in denominationalism like it is here to blind the people's eyes to keep them from seeing the prophet's message in the end time. So don't think that it's not went to the hearts of the jungles of Africa and continents like that. This message is now going around the world. And people have an opportunity to be able to hear the message. Alright. But now listen, God said, Abraham, I won't hide anything from you. You're the heir of all things. And being the heir of all things, he wouldn't hide nothing from him, so he told him. Told him what he was doing, what he'd come down for, and how Sodom was going to be destroyed and all. But then he said, and Abraham, you're going to have that child. You're going to have that child that I promised you. You know, I'm going to bring it to pass. And here we are, the seed of Abraham, over in the end time, with a promise that God won't leave us blindly, you know, that he sent the message to where you and I have the ability to be able to read and to study the message, and what are we doing with it? See, people say, well, Brother Dale, I'm just not like you. No, I agree with you. You're not like me. I dedicated my life when I first heard of this message. I dedicated my life to study this message, not to study Greer's Almanac or the newspapers or anything else. You know, while you was reading your love story magazines, while you was reading your books and this, that, and the other, I was reading the message. And I can't help it if that's what God gave me, was the ability to remember. I thank God for that. But see, in doing that, then now it's an opportunity to be able to speak back to you what I see from the message, and how much that we are blessed. We're not like these churches over here, and I'm not throwing off on nobody, but they don't know where they're going or what's going on. They're just struggling along, and if they get a little bit of a something, it just thrills them, you know. And here we have the full 7-course meal of the entire Bible being broken unto you and I, And it's hard to even get you to church sometimes. You know. There's something wrong with that part. There's just something there. Alright, we went through it. I gave you the quote back this morning where the prophet was shown everything, you know, John, was shown everything all the way even to the future. That's paragraph 145, Revelation chapter 4, part 2, 1960, 12, 31. He was shown all the way the things that would take place. Now, you and I then have an opportunity to sit right here in this God-forsaken world of Laodicea, but yet the ability to sit down and read or hear tapes of a man explaining to you and I what will be or what has been and how did it come up to where we are. He took the church ages and the things and went down and explained how everything come up to where it is and where all these doctrines come from. Then to see what's going on now. And to read the newspapers today as almost a prophecy written in ink and in the papers when you pick it up and this is taking place and that's taking place and all, and knowing the prophet has already told us these things would do. But then to go on and be able to see the future. To be able to see the future. And not have to worry about what it's going to be. Because we know what it's going to be. We're not wondering who the beast is. We know who it is. We're not wondering who the false prophet is. We know who it is. We're not worried about this, that, or the other of the Bible. We know. We get to it in a minute. We know we don't have to go through the tribulation. That was one of the greatest things that caught me, as because we all taught in organized religion. Basic organized religion teaches a 7-year tribulation. That the bride's going to be here, now that's what they use, church, going to be here for 3.5 years of what they call minor tribulation, then we'll leave, and then there'll be a major tribulation. But they put you in tribulation, didn't matter what, because that's the Catholic doctrine, because you got to have a purgatory, you got to have a Catholic purgatories and things to purge the people, or a tribulation to work us over somewhere, you know. But I never could understand one thing about it. I'm just honest, I couldn't understand this. How come God would make you and I go through something when the rest of them didn't have to? They died and went by the grave, right? Sure, a lot of them gave their lives, sure. But a lot of them just died natural. But then you and I, that, you know what I'm saying, if we believed it like that, we would have to go through some tribulation. Well, see, I'm glad when I read that and the prophet said the bride don't go through the tribulation. He said the church does. But he said, you don't put your wife through a purging to try to figure out whether she's your wife or not. He said, you marry her because you love her. All right, we'll get to that after a while. But now watch now. As we've been watching this scene unfold, we see what has been, what is, and what will be. How do we do that? By the Spirit of God, the same way that John saw what he saw. John was taken up in the Spirit. Had he not had the Holy Spirit, he would not have been able to see. And that's what's wrong with the people today in the message. They don't have the Holy Spirit. A lot of them don't. That's the problem with it. That's the reason they have trouble with understanding the message. Then they fall for any little thing that comes or goes. See, the first thing is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Right. See, then we have that baptism of the Holy Spirit. We can, like John, by way of the prophet messenger. You see where I put it all at? By way of the prophet messenger, we, like John, can see what has been, what is, and what will be. So how blessed are we? What a wonderful opportunity it is. All right. See, by trying to study the book of Revelation, that's what I've been trying to get you to see. John, to be able to write these things, had to be in the Spirit. Alright? For you to be able to understand what he's saying, what does it take? Now sure, we are a blessed people to just read. We are a blessed people to just read the prophet's message. Because we don't have to worry about things. You know, I used to be, I don't know where I got the idea, but I told you many times about it. I used to be, when I was a kid, I thought when the end of the world comes, there's going to be great big clouds in the sky. And how did I got it? I don't know, but somebody had told me and said it would be a, there'd be a cloud like a, that would be like an umbrella, you know, hanging over and a big handle hanging down. Well, every time it'd come up a cloud, I'd go out and look, and I said, well, not the end of the world. I don't see no handle hanging out of that cloud hanging over my head. But see, that's what we thought. How blind we were to the real truth of the Bible. And even without the Holy Spirit to quicken it, the simplicity of the explanation of the prophet is so amazing, until I don't see how that even a theologian could argue with him about his approach. So it's like the bride don't go through the tribulation. How could you argue the approach that he gave? He said, you don't put your wife through a test like that. Well, without the Holy Ghost, you ought to say, well, that man knows what he's talking about. And he can turn around and say, you ain't got one scripture for it. He said, because Enoch went up before Noah rode over. You understand what I'm saying? We're a very blessed people to just read. It's a blessing to just read the Bible. But what about being able to understand what is to take place? What is to take place? What is to take place? We used to be worried about Russia going to come over here and take over. Concerned about communism. The prophet said, don't worry about that. He said, worry about Romanism. Put us right back in the Bible, didn't he? What a blessed people you and I are to be able to see the things that we see. And how do we see it? By way of the prophet. By way of the prophet messenger, we see these things. Now, let me get one little point, and you'll understand. See, the prophet went on beyond our time as far as revelation, right? He went up in the spiritual realms as John had went up, and he come back to tell us the things that he told us about what would be and what the next and next and next would be. You know, the order of events, because he saw it. Right? John saw it, Brother Branham said, as though he lived it. And Brother Branham saw it as though he lived it. Now, when you and I see it that way, we're getting somewhere. All right? When we see what it is, then we'll know what it is. See? Then we won't be sympathizing with it. But we'll be, what would be the word? We don't sympathize with denominationalism, but we don't hate the people because they're blind. If they had what we have, they wouldn't be blind. So then we're not against the people, the prophet said. He said, I'm against the system that's blinded the people to the way they see things. See, then follow the point now. If you ever notice, now, watch what I'm trying to explain something now. The prophet says we see what has been, what is, and shall come. Have you ever noticed Brother Branham making statements a lot of times? He'd say, the seals are broke. Now, especially they get over now to the seventh seal, you know. But then in a little bit, he maybe in the same book, he talk about the seals wasn't broke. And you say, Brother Branham, what are you saying? He'd say, the Lamb has left the mercy seat. Then in a few minutes, he'd say, I sure hope the Lamb is still there tonight for us. And said one day he'll leave the mercy seat and it'll become judgment seat. See, and that's why the people of the message has come along and put us in the tribulation, said we're already in the tribulation because, see, the Lamb's left the mercy seat. And it's a judgment. See, all kind of doctrines just flew out because of those statements he made. But yet, I believe he's right both times. Now, I'm not a dummy to where that the white horse rider and the things like that, so don't come up with that on the internet. People will, you know, well, he sure don't know what he's talking about because the prophet was wrong. When the prophet was wrong, he corrected it. But he never corrected it when he would say, the Lamb has left the mercy seat. Said, see, he gets up and walks away. Said, see, he took the book. Said, he hands it down to the seventh angel's messenger. Then in a little bit, he come back around and he say, the Lamb's still on that mercy seat. Is he that confused? You don't read that away and think that away? That's why I spend a lot of my time dealing with those things that seem to be contrary one to the other, to where that you won't spend your time trying to figure out what it is. That's the biggest portion of my ministry. That's why I went through the controversial things, excuse me, like Daniel 70 weeks and things, when others wouldn't even touch it, to try to keep you from being so confused. But here's the point. The Lamb left the mercy seat 2,000 years ago in glory. The seals were broke 2,000 years ago in glory. The Lamb was actually slain before the foundation of the world, according to the Bible. See, that's why I say we're a blessed people. Because those things has been explained to us. And by being explained to us, we don't have all of that in our minds of wondering, well, what did he say here and what did he say here, you know. Well, he said this and he said that. Which one do you want? I say give it time, it'll come together. Except for the things he was wrong on. And I'll tell you one thing, I'd still rather have his opinion when he was wrong than have yours. That's going to the preachers and everybody out there listening. I'd still rather have his opinion, even though he's wrong, than have yours and you think you're right. Because at least I can say what he said. Then I can come along and see that he did straighten up what he needed to straighten up. Huh? But listen. See, the prophet could go there and see. He could read history of what has been. Right? And he did. Before he'd ever preach on the church ages, he studied for months and months on those things. He could see that from natural. So could we. You can go down to the library today and get you a book and read what happened in history. Biggest problem we've got is they got too many history books. You know. And by having all their history books, you can read what one man said. He said it one way and read what another man, he said it the other way, and you don't know which one's right. But by Brother Branham being a prophet, he knew which one was right. He could pull from those things, and it always amazed me. He'd say, he'd bring out those things from when he was preaching the seals, and he'd say, so-and-so, so-and-so, and the angel of the Lord showed this and that and the other. And come find out he didn't have a book in the room with him probably, but his Bible all that whole week that he was studying. You know. Because most of the time he was staying over at somebody else's house. You know. All right. But the point of what I'm getting at was, he was a prophet. God could show to him what to study. Then he wasn't confused. And then it didn't bother him to say, you know, they say, Church of Christ established, you know, Jesus Christ established the Church of Christ. He said, it's only about 100 years old. You know. Well, they come up and say, well, that doesn't matter. We are the original church. He said, yeah, you come up about 100 years ago. Here's your founder. It started here, started here. He knew the natural story of it, but also he knew the spiritual. But what are you trying to say, Brother Dale? I'm trying to say one thing. He could have studied history and known what a lot of the things was. He could look at the calendar of the world and see what is. But he had to enter the prophetic realm to be able to see what was going to be. All right. So that would take God to raise him up and carry him on. And see, like I said then, I gave you the quote there. Brother Brown said on page 531 of the seventh, which is the seventh seal, the seal book, 1963, 324. He said, we're looking at a scene that took place, is taking place in glory 2,000 years ago. A scene that would take place. That's number two on your notes. In glory 2,000 years ago. So when did the seals break? When is this that we're talking about? When did it take place? When will it take place? Has it taken place? You see? All right, I can say it has taken place, it is taking place, and will take place. So how can you be so blind to have all three of them? Because I can see by revelation what's taking place. John taken up 2,000 years ago to glory, to see the things that was taking place. Now what am I getting? I'm getting to the point where the prophet said the seals are broken and the seals are not broken. Lamb left the mercy seat, Lamb still on the mercy seat. I'm getting you to see that he's right. It's according to what you put it on. Right. See, you say the Lamb done left the mercy seat. Well, ain't no more redemption. See, and that's the wrong idea. Well, what do you mean by? I say by a spiritual understanding. We see the Lamb has taken the book and revealed the things that we have need of in the book of Revelation. Not that it's happened. When we leave out of here in the rapture, Satan is cast out of heaven. Right? We go up, he comes down. But the Bible said he was cast out 6,000 years ago, as far as time. And no telling how far back behind there, because time wouldn't keep up with it. Right. So he was cast out back there. But he's got to be cast out in the end time when we go up. You see, those things are not contrary. You just need a revelation. See, those seals is to Israel. And when we leave out of here, and we go in a rapture, then the seals can be revealed to Israel. And just prior to that, the Lamb is going to leave the mercy seat. He'll leave the mercy seat just prior to the rapture. He'll come to earth, as Brother Harris was talking about Wednesday night, to be visible among us. Not corporal, visible. In our corporal. To change this corporal to make it immortal. Because he doesn't set his foot on the land until the millennium. Alright? But he'd be visible and raise the dead. Alright? Then once he can come here, see, redemption can be over before the rapture takes place and will be. The Lamb can leave the mercy seat. I'm on next week's message. But he can do that. Because when he does, he comes down here. And remember, Egypt was in horrible problems. Right? But Goshen didn't have no problem. Why? Because that's where God was at. So one day redemption can be over, and we can go right on the world just like it's going. And it'll be heading towards the tribulation, but it won't be the tribulation. Because the bride's still here. And he'd be visible among us. And then when he does, it'll all be over when we go. Then when he does, then he appear to Israel. So I can stand here today and say the seals is not broke. Then I can say the seals were broke to the prophet in 63. The seals were broke to me in 79, 82. But the seals was broke in glory 2,000 years ago. And really, before the world ever begun, he stood as a lamb slain.
Amen. Right.
See, but it's by revelation.
Right.
Yeah. It's by revelation we see those things. All right. And being made known to you and I, see, the lamb can leave the mercy seat. But he's got to be with us when he leaves that mercy seat. Now, I'll go ahead and say it, and you write it down and think on it. He doesn't really become in us from up there. He doesn't leave the mercy seat up there and come down here. All right? I'll hold the rest of it. But now listen. This is what God is showing us by way of the prophet. We're not in the tribulation, right? The future home's not here, right? So then what we see those things by way of John seeing them. Now Brother Brown didn't see nothing. Brother Brown didn't see something that John didn't see. He saw what John saw. John saw all the way to the future home. Brother Brown just come to tell us about that. What? By revelation. So you and I can stand right here and know the beginning and the ending by revelation and still right here in this old sinful condition we call the world. And see everything by revelation. When John went up 2,000 years ago into glory, he saw the Lamb leave the mercy seat. Well, see, then I can take that then of just a natural carnal application. See, that redemption's over 2,000 years ago. The Lamb left the mercy seat. We've been in judgment for 2,000 years. And that won't fit the prophet's message in the Bible or nothing. It ain't even common sense. But yet you can take quotes and prove a point with it. But see, John saw the day when the Lamb would leave the mercy seat. You see, it's so hard to try to bring the truth because I was with Josiah and Olivia yesterday and reading a book on Dr. Zeus. And it, you know how that gets into the fox, run to this and that, and your tongue just, you know, it just gets all tangled up. Because that's his way of doing it, you know. And he make you read this and read this and read this and read this. And it just keeps building up. And your tongue just gets all tied into knots, you know. I never could say that. And that Peggy tries to say about the Peter Piper picked a peck of pickle peppers.
Right.
And the pickle peppers that Peter Piper picked, I get it all messed up. You know, because you try to say it real fast.
Right.
But what I'm talking about. All right. See, it looks like a jumbled mess. Now, sorry, God, for using that word. I used one the other day in the message when I was using that V thing, and I shouldn't have done it, and I'm sorry. But a lot of you probably never caught I said it. It's all right. I thought about not even saying nothing. I shouldn't have used it. But listen, it looks like a jumbled mess in the book of Revelation. That's why it's got to be revealed. It's got to be revealed, and took a prophet to get it, for it to be revealed to us. All right. Now, it's not jumbled up once we see it. It's placed in the correct order by the Holy Spirit. Because see, I just said it there a moment ago that the Lamb will leave the mercy seat and come here before the rapture. But then I can turn right back around and say the Lamb don't leave the mercy seat until the rapture takes place. How can it leave the mercy seat before the rapture takes place? Because we are the Lamb. That Lamb has seven horns and seven eyes. That Lamb comes from the church ages. How he gets there, we better hold that. But listen, I'm trying not to confuse you. I'm trying to show you we're a blessed people. Because then in simplicity we can understand that God could take John up and show him these things. Right? All the way to the future home. Saw his name written in the foundational stones. The apostles was written there. Yeah, it used to bother me when I read that, and Brother Brown said, John must have seen his name. Well, then I got over one day and thought, well, there's 12 foundation stones over there, and there's 12 apostles, so one of them is named John. It was in the Bible, the very answer. All right. But see, John was able to see the future and not it be there. When Brother Branham come, he was able to go beyond the curtain of time and come back and tell us these things, go into the mind of God, as we call it, and come back and reveal to us the things that will be, has been and is and will be. And it didn't mean he was there. See, the doctor first one I hit when it come in the message. They said redemption was over in 63. See, because they thought the Lamb left the mercy seat in 63. Well, I didn't even have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But yet I had this one point. People would tell me that, I'd say, well, I'm sorry. My Bible says that redemption was over before the foundation of the world. Why don't you just go back to there with it? Oh, no, 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 the prophet was it, see? You're making him Jesus Christ. Just make him what he was. He was a human being, but he was a prophet. And by being a prophet, God could take him and show him. And then by showing him, he could come back and tell us. Now, that don't make anything out of us. And then we see the beginning and the ending of all things. We see that we can be taken up and see that before the seals could be revealed, the Lamb had to leave the mercy seat because he's the one that has to break the seals and things to take the book. He had to get there. I hope you followed some points that I've been trying to make of progressive revelation. If you're listening and keep that in your understanding, you'll understand a lot of things. Like Revelation 4:1, what? John taken up, the open door. John taken up, sees the throne. Then sees one on the throne. Sees all of the things around the throne. Then Revelation 5, he sees the book in the hand of the one sitting on the throne. Why? The scene is unfolding. But if that's not in your own personal experience that you can see, that you've heard his voice to turn around. Right. You see by one true and living God, there's one on the throne. Right. And you see the book in his hand is the book of redemption. Right. The names of the redeemed. What is that? That's a constant unfolding of the Godhead. Right? We see in simplicity. See, everybody says, well, when the seals were broke to the prophet, that was it. That's it. Now John saw, Brother Ram saw what John saw. Redemption wasn't over when the seals broke. I'm talking about to the prophet in the last days. I'm a living proof of that because I received my salvation after then. I don't worry about it. You can argue all day long, give me all the quotes you want to, but I'm going to tell you I got the new birth, and I'm going to tell you where I got it. Yeah, but it don't matter about you, because Brother Bram said redemption's over and the seal broke. Show me that. You can't find it. He turned around and said, don't you say them things. But do you think that changed anybody? He said in Daniel 70 weeks, don't you say that the rapture is going to come in 77. Did that change anybody? No. Everybody has said it's got to be 77, and you was ridiculed to not believe those things. But listen, church, what I'm trying to get you to see is We can stand right here. We can be sitting right here today in this building, and God revealed to us what has been, what is going on now, and the future right here. And it doesn't mean that the Lamb has left the mercy seat. They said the Lamb can't leave the mercy seat till the bride gets there, because she's the Lamb.
Amen.
But that leaving of the mercy seat there is for Israel. There'll be a time when you and I go into rapture that the seals will be literally open to Israel. And the literal things will take place. But yet we're not there when the literal things take place. We see the sixth seal, which is the tribulation period, but we don't have to go there. We see the fourth seal, which is Armageddon, but we don't have to go there. You understand what I'm saying? We're a blessed people to be able to just read. To be able to just say, we've heard these things. No matter how confusing it might sound, to just be able to hear it.
Amen.
That's what I don't understand, people that are in the message a while and then go back to organized religion. I got a couple in mind. One used to lead singing here, and one used to be a deacon here with us. Or wasn't a deacon, he just here was with us in the one original foundation. Now, how could I go back to a denominational church and sit there and listen to them preach Trinitarianism, and me sitting there, three of them, I got three in mind now, and go sit down in them churches and just sit there and, well, maybe they're right. No. They didn't see it. They didn't see one God. If you see one God, there ain't no way in the world anybody by revelation now. Ain't no way in the world anybody can talk you out of it. And if you don't see it by revelation, I still don't understand how anybody can talk you out of it. Because one is one. I never have. I don't have no education, but that's all I've ever been able to say is one is one. But listen, church. See, we see what took place in glory 2,000 years ago, the prophet said. That's when John went up. Did the Lamb take the book? Nope, the seals there literally. Or was John seeing what would take place at a future date? Now, which one is it? If the Lamb left the mercy seat 2,000 years ago, redemption was over 2,000 years ago, and you're lost. And so was everybody in the world. And so was Brother Branham, because he didn't have it back there either. So did it literally happen, or did John see when it would happen? That's what I'm trying to get you to see, progressive revelation. 4:1, you only see one, the throne. Then you see one on the throne. That's to be your revelation of the true one and one true living God. Now a book in the hand of the one sitting on the throne. And remember, before the seals can literally be broken, we've got to climb up on the throne and sit down. I didn't say that. Your prophet did. But you see, church, what I'm trying to get you to see is, it's a wonderful thing for God to reveal His Word to us.
Right. Amen.
Well, we're not blinded like the rest of the world. We're not wondering what truth is. We know what truth is.
Amen.
We're not pondering in darkness. We're in light.
Right.
Brother Branham, go into the church, the seal book. I ask you to do it, if you will. Read the breach. The breach. The message in the seal book, the breach. Read it about 3 or 4 times. I mean, just that one message, because when we get into the one not worthy and the Lamb taking the book and things, it'll be right out of the breach. Read it. Over and over and over. And watch in now how that even in that message the prophet said the lamb leaves the mercy seat. Then he says, I hope that lamb's still on that mercy seat. But you see, when you see something by revelation, you are translated to that position that that existence is. So you'd be sitting right here now and God had revealed to you a wreck down on 985. And it would take place at 1 o'clock. Well, see, you're sitting right here seeing what's going to happen at 1 o'clock. Now, is it more real to be that one when the wreck takes place than it is what's revealed to you? You remember I kept asking you the question, what's the difference in a revelation and a manifestation? If something is revealed to you, it's like Brother Brown said about John. He said he saw it as though he lived it. When Brother Branham would stand there and see something, he would see somebody's house and he'd see a number on the door. And he'd see a street marker. And he'd say, oh, you live on Oak Street. Your number is 33 something like, you know. He just named Oak. Where was he? He went there and saw it. Right? Not physically, he was still standing there. By spirit, he was lifted up and went over and saw that. And come back. You ever had a dream and see it come to pass? And in the dream you went there. The prophet said some part of you went there. All right. But that didn't make it take place until it had a time that it happened. See, that's what John done. He went up and saw these things. When Brother Branham went up in 63, he saw what John saw. The way John saw it. As though he was there, and that's what he would speak of. When he would be speaking and describing it, you ought to go sometime. Oh, take the testimony on the sea and go out and set in the Sea of Galilee. And listen to Brother Branham and describe those things. Remember, Brother Branham never went to Israel. I can't remember the exact message, but I'll be glad to find it, where he preaches on Mount Carmel. And he describes Mount Carmel to a T and was never there. But he described the whole layout. Ah, he just was guessing. No. If he was speaking by revelation, he saw it. That was what was amazing to me. I knew what the Bible said about it. You know, you remember, who was it? Elijah told the king, said, you better hurry up and get back. You better get out of here. And he takes off with his chariots and he just takes off running and outruns him. 20-something miles or something like that. Did he outrun those chariots? And I thought, well, what's that? You know, I mean, I know that's telling us that God's Spirit can get in the prophet and he can outrun the horses. But I thought, now, what's the natural? What's the natural? Well, see, where they were on Mount Carmel, there was a great big valley. And that's what that guide was standing there telling. He said, you remember the story of Elijah? He pointed down, way down from up on Mount Carmel. They had to take him down there. Probably took him 2 or 3 hours walking as fast as they could walk to get down to the bottom of that thing. He said, down there is where he took them down there and killed them. Down at that water. And he said, something happens here every once in a while. And said, when it does, so that valley will just get full of water. He said, you wonder why Elijah was telling him he better get out of there. He said, because if he is sitting up on Mount Carmel and looking down in the water, he was good and safe. But said he would have been a king in exile. I said, glory! He said he would have been a king out of his country. Because the water would have had him cut off and he couldn't get back. So Elijah told him, get in that chariot and run! But you see, when those prophets saw things, they saw it just like it's happening. That's what I'm trying to get you and me to see. We've got to see it just like it's happening. We've got the description of those things. We can now enter glory and see the Lamb sitting on the throne with a book in his hand. And see that by our revelation. Seeing one true and living God. And seeing that book, as I was trying to bring out the other day, that book is the believers. It's in the Bible. That's the book of redemption. It's a book of names. It's the Bible. See, we can open it up and read what will take place from here to the... if we went up exactly right now, it would be 1,000 years plus 3.5 years before the future home would take place, let alone the little season the Bible says. But yet we can sit here today and see that. But where did the prophet get the future home and listen to him? He's describing the byways and the hedges and the things unto it. Nah, that was just some tattletale story he was telling. Well, it's better than your tattletale story. Because all you had was us sitting up on harps playing, sitting up on clouds playing harps. I know that don't go over good. But it's the truth, isn't it? At least he painted a beautiful picture. He said, well, I just can't understand how that Brother Branham one of these days will be up there in a little old log cabin. Because remember, that's what he said. He said, remember, that you can hear Brother Branham's voice down there singing. Said, say, he made it to the little old log cabin sitting down there. Well, let's have whatever you want. The future home is made according to your desires. So what you want? I'd like to have a little log cabin. Because there won't be no termites up there. I don't have to worry about sticking mud in between where the cracks is at, because it ain't going to be cold. You understand what I'm saying? Listen, church. All right? We can stand here and see thousands of years down the road before it'll actually take place. But like I've always tried to illustrate it to you, you know, people will say it like this. They'll say, Brother Brown said, next time I'll see you in the future home. Next thing that happens is the future home, brother. Because the prophet said next time he's seen us be in the future home. But you go back and get the order of events. Got to be a rapture, got to be a tribulation, got to be a millennium, got to be a white throne, got to be a little season, then the millennium. See, then you're not so carnal to say, well, look at that, next thing is the future home. You may think that's silly, but you go out there and ask around about it, you'll find out. It took Brother Dick a long time to finally get down to some of the things that statements I've made about organized religion till he wound up into people that talked to him that told him those things. So get out there and ask around about it. Like I told you about that man telling me one time there at work, said, we know the end of the time has come. Said, cause them buzzards is laying 3 and 4 eggs. I mean, I'm naturally, you know, I'm dumb and all like that, but I said, okay, you're saying something, but what's the buzzards and the eggs got to do with, because he didn't know I'd seen buzzards with more than one egg, but, you know, he said, well, you got to have them buzzards to eat up all them dead bodies over there. I said, oh, I never thought of that. Because yeah. I don't plan on being around when that takes place. But listen, church, get my point now. We see by revelation what will take place before it takes place. But what about the time now? Get the point, and we'll end it on this one point I'm trying to bring. What about when the bride goes up in a rapture? You know, she does go up in Revelation 4:1. And you know in Revelation 4:1, there's a throne. Now the rapture takes place. Revelation 4:1. Ends in Revelation the 3rd chapter of the bride, right? And taken up in Revelation 4:1. Right? See, then there will be a literal time that we'll be there. And we'll see the throne. We'll see the 24 elders, the rainbow, the things. It'll be there. And then we'll see one with a book in his hand sitting on the throne. Then we'll see, and I'm not to that far, but it's saying, then we'll see the Lamb as he comes forth from the Father's throne and comes around and takes a book out of the hand. I'm quoting Brother Branham, the one sitting on the throne, climbs up on the throne and sits down. Getting pretty crowded on the throne. Because that book is the bride. And that Lamb has seven horns and seven eyes, which is the bride of Christ down through seven church ages. So we'll be sitting on the throne. When the seals break, we'll be sitting on the throne. He said, well, I just don't understand it because they broke to the prophet. I believe the prophet saw it by revelation before it would ever take place. We see it right now by revelation before it takes place. But one day it'll take place, we'll be there. Because the bride goes up, Revelation 4:1. I remember how that used to tear up the preachers. Yeah, it still does. But I didn't say it. And I gave you four quotes. I gave you one from well, let's just read them. I'm trying to read in a hurry. Go to number 3 on your notes. Number 2 is where he's caught up to. The scene that takes place in glory. Look at number 3, Revelation chapter 4, part 1. Now, this is back before the church, before the seals were broke, 1960, 1231. And oh, notice John being taken up immediately after the church age was a type of the raptured church. Immediately after the church's age is over, this Laodicean church age, then comes the rapture. The church goes up like John did into the presence of God. Oh, that just winds my soul around, caught up at the rapture of the church. And it said, this place, the book of Revelations, was written at the end of the church age. Page 70 of the Breach, which is preached in the Seal Book, 1963, 317 evening. Now we're going to turn to the 5th chapter. Now this is not the seven seals. It is the breach between the church ages and the seven seals. Now there is also a 6th chapter of, and there was a 4th chapter, rather a revelation. And in that, it kind of reveals something that would take place after the church going up, that the church goes up on the 3rd chapter of Revelations and does not return until the 19th chapter of Revelations. See, therefore the church misses the tribulation. I know that's contrary to pretty near every teacher I've ever talked to, but I don't mean to be disagreeable. I mean to be your brother. And I must teach just as I see. If I don't, I can't put it together, you see. Now, whether it goes up before the tribulation or after the tribulation, I want to go up with it. That's the main thing. Go on down. Page 120, Seal Book, 1963, 318, First Seal. John caught up in the 4th chapter to see things which was, which is, and which is to come. But the church finishes at the 4th chapter, and Christ takes up the church, caught up in the air to meet him, and does not appear again until the 19th chapter, when he returns back with a king as King of Kings and Lord of Lords with the church. Oh, and I hope someday we'll get through it all. All right. Page 401, 6th seal, 63, 323. We're living in a terrific time. The time that you see these things that we're in now. Now the seals, listen to it. That we're studying right now is after the church is done gone. When does she go up? 4:1. And he explains this, you know, the bride, the church does. But listen, that takes this Feast of the Trumpets. Page 6, 1964, 7:19 in the evening. I began to notice that the preaching of the seven church ages, which is the pattern or the forecast of all that God was going to do for the churches and through the churches and positionally setting them up, the first 3 chapters of the book of Revelation revealed all the happenings unto the church. Then from the 3rd chapter until the 19th chapter of Revelation, there is no more scene of the church The church goes up at the 4th chapter of Revelation and returns back at the 19th chapter of Revelation, the bride and groom together coming to the earth, and then from the 19th chapter to the conclusive of the 22nd chapter, it's all on the millennium and will be in the years that is to follow. During the 4th to 19th, God is dealing with Israel. I didn't say it, now he did. But you see, I said that in a minister's meeting one time. Those very quotes. Well, what about Revelation 10:7? These are the voice of seventh angel when he's been sound. Right. What about Revelation 18:4? Come out of her, my people. You would have seen them shuffling books across the table for me, and I just sat there bum-fuzzled. Brother Woodby, on the way home, you've heard me tell it many times, on the way home, he said, Brother Dale, I've never seen you look like that. I said, no wonder. Everybody agreed Brother Branham was right. And that he was the prophet. And he said the bride goes up in Revelation 4:1. And then for their carnality to be expressed, to try to talk about the other things. And that's when God spoke to him and showed it. Revelation 10, it says, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel. That don't put Brother Branham in Revelation 10:7. Because Revelation 10:1 is the same as Revelation 1:13. See, it's by revelation that Brother Branham saw those things. That is the seventh church age messenger that spoke of in Revelation 10. Yes, but that don't put him in Revelation 10 after the rapture. That puts his message appearing to Israel. That's when time shall be no more. That puts his message there. That's what I've been trying to drive the whole service today. We see by revelation things before they take place. The bride goes up Revelation 4:1. Not seen till 19. Well, I just going to show them. What about Revelation 18:4? Come out of her. That's to Israel. Come out of her, my people. But it's to the bride. Come out of her, my people. Why? Because we're seeing the spiritual application. We're seeing it by revelation, not by actually being there. We see all the way from 4:1 to 19:21 and on past there to Revelation 22 in the future home. That don't put us there. That don't put us in tribulation. That don't put us in time. And we see it by this natural reading of our understanding, and we may miss the whole thing and be in hell by the time that takes place. I'm talking about future home. Right? Because if we turn it down, that's our choice. See, I'm trying to get you to see things by revelation. We see the book of Revelations by revelation, not by actually being there. One day the Bible said he'll stand with one foot on one and the other, and it'll divide. And all, are we going to be there? No, we see it. Not that he's got one big foot and one great big giant standing on the earth. We're in the people. Right. See, we see by revelation. We're a blessed people. Right. To see the revelation of God's word. To be able to read a newspaper that's not just written a day ahead of time, but written before the foundation of the world, that shows us each day what's taking place. Be nice to get a newspaper a day ahead, wouldn't it? You could bet on all you wanted to and know who's going to be president and whatever, wouldn't it? Would it be like the man was that they made the movie about? You'd just probably read one day and find out you died the day before. You know. See, it wouldn't do no good. But we, by revelation, see these things. But then we see the happening back here on earth. Because, come on, that's what I've been trying to get you to see. John goes up and sees. How did that lamb get there? Where did that lamb come from? You remember what I was trying to bring out? John sees where Jesus went, where Jesus go. He went right up and come right back down on the day of Pentecost to establish the Father's throne down here on earth. And we dethroned him down through the ages because of Trinitarian doctrine. But in the end time, he's be to reveal to the bride of Jesus Christ and putting him back on the throne like he's supposed to be. Then you can see the book in the hand of the one sitting on the throne. Because the faith of the fathers had that one sitting on the throne. They didn't have no doctrines like flying around in this garbage can today of that they're doing. Paul had that one true and living God correct and down to the point. He said, it's not I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. And the life that I now live by thee faith, I live by thee faith of the Son of God. Or I live in the flesh, I live by thee faith. He saw one true and living God by revelation. He was on the throne of Paul's heart, right? Watch this afternoon how we take the abstract. The abstract title deed. But you see what I'm talking about? Come on, brother. You see what I'm talking about? We're a blessed people to be able to see all of these things before they take place. We know the end of all things. Wouldn't it be something? You want to know who's going to be the president? Say. You want to know who's going to be the president? The one that God wants on the throne. The last time I voted in the presidential election, I was in the Baptist church and I voted for John F. Kennedy. And didn't know we put a Catholic on the throne as president of the United States. When Brother Branham said that, I never voted again for president. Rarely I'll vote in a local election when somebody comes to me and asks me to register and I have to go register again to get to vote because I quit to register and, you know, and I don't do. But I hadn't voted in a presidential election because there's no need of doing it. God's going to put on there who's going to put on there. We talk about how that they took the voting machines and the things, you know, back there and how they was the FBI, you know, proved that they were voting wrong and all. We witnessed one. I was leaving out, waiting him, and went on down to the deer hunting land. They had a generator set up down there and had a TV going out in a field down at, Buckhead. And here I was on the way down to spend the night with them hunt the next day. Well, they was voting. Well, when I went through, I went through the town there. No, it wasn't Madison back before then. They were still lined up. I mean, they was lined up for a half a mile, still voting. You know, the polls hadn't closed. They were still voting. The polls hadn't closed. I got there before the polls closed. You know, where they were. And they were sitting there and they were all laughing and said, we got a new president. I said, how do you have a new president when the polls ain't closed? I said, they're still lined up yonder for a mile to vote. I said, how do you got a new president? You remember what happened that time? You remember the three hours difference between here and out west? You know how they have to do now? They have to block off and hold and don't let California know what we're voting? Because that's what that time they shot it on to California on the news. And then here in the southern part or the eastern section, had already voted the person in as president, and the rest of them said there ain't no need to vote. Because they done voted them in. See, they thought it's over with. That's how easy those things are done. See? But God put in the one he wanted in. Nobody could have been in to be a Bush. We were up in Tennessee one day, I told you about it. And that was about the time, might have been right in there when the towers fell or whatever it was. He was down in Florida speaking to a group of people. And Brother Richard was in the other motel room over there. I knocked on the door. I said, Brother Richard, turn your TV on. I said, if you want to watch a good Pentecostal preacher, turn it on. He said, what channel? I said, turn on the channel. He hollered back. He said, that's Bush. I said, watch him. Man, he had that down. He was going. He was strutting. He was preaching to them people what they wanted to hear about the economies and things like that. I said, watch him. He's got them spellbound. He was the president we needed. He was the only one that could have been religious enough to tuck us through these things that we've been going through. When they're telling you that you can't pray in school, right? But yet he gets up and everybody pray. They ought to arrest him. They ought to arrest the governor of the state of Georgia when he declared we're going to pray for rain down there. And it rained when they prayed. They ought to arrest the man. Why? He was contrary to the Constitution. The Constitution, they've declared it to say that we can't pray. No, they don't say you can't pray. I know what you're talking about, so go on. You can't pray out loud. You pray all the time you want to in yourself. But they prayed out loud. I enjoyed his prayer. I thought he's pretty good. Of course, he probably had it wrote down for about 3 weeks and 15 people helping him. But you understand what I'm talking about? God's going to put in office who he wants in office to end it all. And if I could say that Hillary Clinton was going to bring this thing to his brother Harris was talking about Wednesday night, they're bringing it down to a plan of persecution. I've told you that before. If I could knew that Hillary Clinton was going to be the one, and I had one vote, and that was going to make the election to who decided, and I knew she would be the one to take it and bring on that persecution, I'd sign my name on that, and I'd stamp it Hillary Clinton in a hurry and say, God, get underway for what we're doing. Bring on these things, because we need it. We need something to tighten up our spiritual condition to make us more sincere. Right? But to make us think about how blessed we are. To be able to see these things before they even take place. Thousands of years before they transpire. Yet we see it as though, and it will be exactly like you see it by revelation. Now, did you notice I said by revelation, not by what you figure out. You see something by revelation, it's going to be exactly that way. If it's a revelation. That's why in the Bible, when they would have the revelation, you know, a guy would or something, he'd come up before the Urim and Thummim. And if it wasn't right, them lights didn't flash. But if it was right, they flashed and everything was okay. Let's stand together. Think on these things, how blessed you are. How blessed we are. The people of Almighty God. Go ahead, brother. 46 in the red book. Have the Holy Spirit constantly within. Make the consecration. Trust in God and then let the Holy Ghost come in. That's the thing. Let the Holy Ghost come in. Oh, let the Holy Ghost come in. Make the consecration. Trust in God and then let the Holy Ghost come in. Would you have the Spirit in your heart to cheer? Anybody have a need? See, accept what he said. Trust in God and then let the Holy Ghost come in. Oh, let the Holy Ghost come in. Do you believe it? I believe that. Now let's thank him about it. Father, thank you for revealing to our brother, Lord, that he's been backslid. Father, that's hard for the human mind to comprehend, to thank you for revealing that someone has been backslid. Jesus. It's because now something can be done about it. Because he didn't see it until the brother preached about the condition. Now he sees that he's been backslid. So now he can move forward in you, Lord, and walk in the light of the love of the gospel and not be backslid anymore, but to walk in you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Anybody else? It's a wonderful thing to see that you've been backslid. It'd be a wonderful thing to see that you're lost. Because you can do something about it. Father, our brother's got this old problem with the vomiting, the diarrhea, and the things. We condemn it under the blood of Jesus Christ and count it as nothing in the sight of our God and Savior. What a blessed people we are to be able to thank you for touching us and to bleed and it didn't be a finished problem in Jesus' name. Believe it. Just believe it. Anybody else? Concentration. Trust in God and do it. Folks, come in. Let's just sing that. We are blessed. How does it go? I am blessed. Yeah. Let's sing that before we go. If anybody has a need, I am blessed. Do you believe you are? Amen. To see what we see, we're blessed. I am blessed. Every day that I live, I am blessed. Now sing it correctly. When I wake up in the morning, not till, when I lay my head to rest. If you say till, you're just cutting it off when you go to bed. We're blessed all day, all night. That's what we all need. All right? We all need that. You're not the only one that needs that. I need that. We all need the revelation. But I'm just concerned about myself, and you've got to be concerned about yourself. I can do everything that I can to help you, but I can't reveal it to you. But you can pray and thank God for it. And thank God for it before it comes. Start thanking Him. Thank Him for it and just say, thank you. And go thanking Him and you'll see it come. If I am blessed. When I wake up in the morning, when I lay my head to rest, I am, anybody else have a need? I am blessed. I am blessed. You're dismissed. Think about being blessed. I am blessed.